Welcome to Girls in Heels on today's show. Well, we have a lot to talk about. We certainly do. We always do.
Like, we always do.
Is there ever a day that we're like,
There's never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment.
Lots to talk about.
Always. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence. My co-hosts are Teresa Aprea, Nicole Napolitano, also known as the twins from Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hello, ladies.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, twins.
And I have to apologize for not being here last week because we were making it here until something came up. On the turnpike, yes. With Nicole. Something always seems to come up in motherland. So she had to get back to New Jersey.
Personal land.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had to make a U-turn about face and head back to Jersey. So I apologize, but we're back, Cooper.
We missed you all, and thank you, Cooper, for filling in.
I know. I was like a solo show. It was weird. I was like talking to myself.
We missed everybody.
Well, I heard you did wonderful. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, so you didn't listen.
Yes, I did. That's all. That, okay, she's not here. Okay, great, Nicole.
Yes, Charles John, I saw the feedback on social media.
Okay, good. Thank you. Things happen.
But that's okay. That's the great thing about podcasts. People get our guests, our fans, everyone gets to go back. All our fans get to listen whenever they want. So it's awesome.
That's a good point.
It really is.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you didn't hear one
of
our
Nicole
shows.
So Nicole is going to go back and listen to Cooper.
That's right.
Today, on the way home, Nicole's going to listen to Cooper.
It was a lot of celebrity stuff. I just opened TMZ and pulled some stuff. And, you know, it reminded me of stuff. So I told stories. Basically, it was funny. One of the conversations I got into with myself that actually went nuts on Facebook and Twitter
That's
and everywhere
so
was, do you use your hand to flush or your foot to flush? Because I got yelled at in a bathroom. I'm not going to go through it again because people heard it last week. But it's the hand flushers versus the foot flushers really had a lot to say on Facebook and Twitter. So I got a lot of feedback on that.
Yes.
Well, I just have to say I never use my hands to flush. I think that's disgusting. There's so much bacteria on that handle.
Yeah, exactly. So
I do use my foot to flush.
So do I. And I got yelled at for it.
Wow.
And then I was kind of like, you were looking at me under the stove. Like, that's even creepier.
And you can't lean over and flush the toilet because then all the bacteria goes flying in your face.
You do know that, right?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's why I'm a foot flusher.
Yes.
No, but never, ever, once you flush, you must turn away because all that bacteria. Teresa is like very...
Oh my God.
Well, that's why I love it here. I save all my everything for when I come here because here is the automatic flush.
Yes.
So that's the best thing. You get done and you open the door and you run out. You just get far away from it.
Yes, every bathroom should have that.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right, so
enough potty talk.
About that, even in your own homes, put the toilet seat down. That's very feng shui, believe it or not. They say if your toilet seat is up, your money's just going to like go out and disappear. So you should put the toilet seats down.
Hmm.
A little feng shui.
I
have one of those toilet seat things that go down on their own. Is that okay feng shui wise?
Ooh, I like that.
I think that's good.
Okay.
I think.
Like an automatic guy.
That's good.
Yes.
That is good.
Phew. All right.
So
I thought you'd tell me
you
like,
have to touch
you
it.
Know what? We should have them. I should definitely get one of those in my house because I have like two boys and they never put the toilet seat down. I always have to do that. So I should get an automatic one.
Yeah, those things are amazing.
Yeah.
It saves a lot. I mean, I think that what happened was some woman decided she was sick of having fights with her husband, so she must have invented that. It's a marriage saver.
Yes.
It's a relationship saver.
Yeah, talking
about what about
that,
in Atlantic City when we were filming Teresa?
A heated toilet seat. That's my next purchase.
Oh, my goodness.
A heated toilet seat?
It was a bidet, a heated toilet seat, an automatic up and down, like everything in one.
Did you use the bidet?
7,000 later. I did.
I love bidets. I think everyone should have one of those.
Italians
so European.
Have it right.
Americans don't have it. Obviously, they don't feel the need to. I think it's so sanitary. I mean, people find them strange, but they're really not. They make a lot of sense.
You don't use baby wipes? I use baby wipes.
I think baby wipes is good, but okay.
That's a little bit too much information.
It's a little too much information. We went from potty talk to toilet talk to bidets. No, I think it's very good. I think nothing is more cleansing as Europeans have the right idea.
Okay, let's talk about sex then. Let's change it to something more uncomfortable. Here's why I'm asking. Because the two of you as mothers, this is my favorite story of the day. I saw this morning and I could not wait to get here and ask you guys about this.
Okay, let's see.
Please do, Cooper.
So a company in Spain just created a mattress called the Smartress.
Okay?
It has a feature called the love detection system.
Okay.
Now, what does that mean?
Yes.
The mattress has built-in sensors. It can tell if somebody is having sex on it.
Really?
And it sends an alert to your phone. So, obviously, it's for people if you think your spouse is cheating on you in your own bedroom. That's what it's for.
That's ridiculous.
But I think it's better for mothers who have teenage sons that might be wondering what's going on. You get the smartress, and then your phone. Can you imagine, like, you're at work, and the phone pops up and says, oh, Giovanni,
I would not want that on my son's bed. As a mother, I would not want that on my son's bed. I think that is ridiculous, and I think whoever invented, I think that's just a waste of
money and time.
Technology. I think it's a waste. I mean, if you have to worry about having a mattress, that you have to worry about your spouse cheating, first of all, okay, talking about cheating, I don't think too many people are going to, well, then again, who knows? I probably more housewives, while their husbands are away, probably. Husbands would have to probably worry about that. I don't think too many men are going to be cheating in their own house. They could probably find it elsewhere. Agreed, Nicole. She's looking at me like I have not. I think that's a waste, though. I mean, that's just a waste of technology when you're having sex. I would not want to know that for my child. I mean,
I would not want to know every time my son was having sex.
I think that's, I think that's an invasion of privacy, and I am the strictest mother,
right.
and it's all about me. I think it is an invasion of privacy. I think we teach our kids the best we can. You know, we instill everything we can in them. But, I mean, I do not want to know if my son, if he's made that decision and if it's.
And I wouldn't want to get an alert every time I was having sex in my bed. Right.
Beep, beep. You're having sex and your phone's going off and exactly. The guy's like, wow, your phone's really blowing up.
Yeah, besides a lot of other things blowing up.
Those are good answers. I like the fact that you respect your kids' privacy. That's wonderful. I wish more mothers felt that way, because I have a friend who is just, you would love her except for her parenting style, because she's one of these like overprotective mothers where she needs to keep her finger on the pulse of her son's wrist at all times. No. And I just think that sends a message, I don't trust you. That sends a message that, you know, I don't think you can take care of yourself. I think the kid's going to grow up and not be able to be completely independent.
I agree.
And, you know, we were just talking about that. I was talking to a gentleman, he's a psychologist, and he was saying how mothers today do not, a lot of parents say, do not allow their kids to fail. Even going back to kids playing at a playground, they're right under the monkey bars. They're waiting to catch them. Let the kid fall. Let him get some scratches on his knee. You know, and I said, I was never like that. He goes, you know, because everybody knows Giovanni and I are so close. We have a great relationship. But I'm not overprotective. We're very close, but I've made him. He was talking about even allowing kids to wear what they want, like growing up. Oh, my God, were you the type of mother that probably always told your kid, bundle up, and make sure, you know, the hats, the scarves before you went out? I'm like, believe it or not, I wasn't. You know, I mean, it's good. Mothers have to take care of their kids. But I would be like, you know what? There were times my son wanted to wear shorts in the dead of winter. And I was like, so be it. And my mother would think I was crazy. Oh, my God, he's gonna catch pneumonia.
Really?
I'm like, yes. You know what, Mom? If he wants to run out with a sweatshirt and shorts, so be it. If
but
he gets
choices
sick,
they make. Like, I would tell the boys, listen, it's 40 degrees out today. You should wear, you know, take your gloves, take your hat. If they don't, if they choose to be cold and if they want to freeze, then so
but
be it.
But I think it was a boy thing with but all of our boys. It's amazing. They would, in the dead of winter, wear these sweatshirts and run out in shorts and sneakers. I don't know why, but they did.
You don't wear
it. You're
going to be
cold. Allow your kids to make decisions. You know,
right.
Like me, I have a tracker on my son's phone, right?
Right.
And someone was saying, and I said, this is not about trust. This is not about finding out where he is all the time. It's really for my own sanity. So like when it's 2 a.m. and he's in the city and he's driving back home to Jersey with his friends, or most of the times even by himself because he drops his friends off in Brooklyn where they live. He'll be heading back to Jersey. For my sanity, it really is for me. I just check and go, oh, okay, you know what?
He's okay.
The car is
okay.
Moving.
Yeah.
He's
I don't have
okay.
To call him. He doesn't
he's
have to speak
safe.
While he's
I don't
driving.
Want to call him while he's driving, or I would never text him because then he has to look down on the text. I wouldn't call him because to distract him. It's for me to know, okay, my son is safe. Mm. I know he's okay. You know, he's
right.
At the Empire State Building, 1:00 a.m. You know, oh, look, he's having fun. You know, I see him.
Like,
whatever.
You don't care that he's there. You just want to know
I don't
that
care
he's there.
That. I know he's safe and driving. I know the car's thing. Yeah. But I don't do it because, oh, my God, I'm checking where he is. No, I trust my kid.
But you do. Getting back to that, you have to it's how you raise your kids, and then you tell them it's every choice they make, there's always a consequence. It's going to be a good choice or a bad choice, but there's always a consequence. So always make the right decision.
And then also, you know, there's something to be said with, you know, making mistakes, because then you've got to think about how I'm like strategize, like what am I going to do next time so I don't make that same mistake. Like that says a lot about brain development, you know. So if a kid makes a mistake, they learn, they're learning something. Okay, I made a mistake. What can I do to make sure I don't do that a second, third, fourth time? You know, and then it forces them to have to think.
Exactly.
You know? You know what?
And you're not thinking for them.
Yes. And this gentleman I was talking to the other day, he has a whole center and it's all, you know, I love Dr. Amen on Channel 13.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
And all brain development. It's so important. Like this guy was saying, he goes, oh my gosh, he's a teacher. He said, these kids do not, we don't even use half of our brains today because of smartphones. They are horrible.
Right.
Like we don't memorize numbers anymore. GPS, we used to figure it out where to go. We used to look at a map and say, okay, this is where we're going. You know, we're heading up to the mountains. Get a map. Now it's like, okay, plug it in your phone. You don't have to think at all. It's amazing.
And there was a study this week that found that writing things down will help you remember them. So actually physically writing. So I find myself a lot of times, like if I'm going grocery shopping, whatever, I'll pick up my phone, I'll go to notes, I'll make a list of what I need, and then I get to the grocery store and I look at my list. If you actually physically write it down, not only do you remember it better, you probably won't even need the list. And that's not just that. I'm saying like notes in school.
It's so true.
Like if you're in school, notes, like any situation where you're writing something down that you want to remember, physically writing it, it makes it more indelible.
Well, they say those who write their goals down and what they want to achieve are more likely to achieve them every single day than those who do not write them down.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's something with your brain, but I think when you see it and when you write it down and when you have it in front of you, just like when you have like a goal board or something like that, which I love when you see the pictures.
Oh, a dream board.
A dream board. And when you write it down in words, you're just seeing it every single day.
They said something with the brain with writing it down.
Something with the brain with
writing it down. And it's true. And even visually, like I'm a visual person. When I write things down, I write a lot of notes. I visually see the way I write things down. I will make certain words darker. I will circle certain words. I'll underline them. And that's what they say, really. For me, it's a visual. It's the way my brain, the visual part of my brain works. I will visually see my notes that I wrote down.
Right. That makes exactly.
It's
and that's what the study. And that's what the study found. Exactly
and
what
that's
you're saying.
It's the visual part of your brain. There's so many parts of your brain, and that's what I was talking to this guy about. He has this whole brain center and neuroplasticity, and it's like we can change
our brains.
Brain.
Right.
He has a whole center. Like you can raise your IQ. Kids today, I'm so tired, and I feel so bad for. There are so many parts of the brain, whether it's auditory, whether it's sensory, whether it's, you know, it's so many parts. And these parents, there are times where he was telling me only a certain part of the brain, that's where medication works for kids with ADD. Mm. There are other parts of the brain where, whether it's long-term memory, you know, you could really test the brain. And when medication doesn't work, and then sometimes parents will think, oh, my kid just is not paying attention or my kid's lazy. No, that kid is working to his best of his capability.
Right.
That's why if I could tell even parents out there, I've been learning so much and stuff. Really, get your kids tested. If you think there's something wrong or they could even be if you want them to maybe do better in school or if you see something not right, because there's so much you could do with changing your kid's brain, not just getting tutors. Tutors are not going to help. If your kid is having a problem in certain things, they can help. But when you really are doing exercises to really work every part of the brain,
right?
Just like you can change your body physically.
Yes, that's a great example.
You can. Like I was telling my son that when he was 13, he was really into changing, you know. And now, God bless him, he's got like a body of an Adonis. But he worked hard.
Right.
We spent a lot of money. We went to nutritionists. He learned. He read lots of books. He transformed his body. You can change your brain. Don't think, oh, well, you know what? Maybe I'm not that smart or, you know, this kid is smart. No, you can work your brain like you work your body.
Like, just like they say when you learn a language later on in life.
Yes.
That's working your left part of your brain.
Exactly.
It's so good for you, whether you're doing crossword puzzles or something. You're using a part of your brain that you normally don't use. Opening up a door, if you're a righty and you're always using your right hand, they said start doing things with your left hand. Open up the door with your left hand. Start brushing your teeth with your left hand because you're using other parts of your brain that you normally don't use.
It's very encouraging because I think as adults, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I was reading. And what even brought this up is I was starting to read Cameron Diaz's book, Longevity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing
was... You know,
she's
a twin.
She's amazing.
She is. She's a twin.
Do you know everyone says that? For some reason, I remind them of Cameron Diaz. You get J-Lo, and I get Cameron Diaz, and we're twins, and we'll be there together. And they'll be like, you remind me just like Cameron Diaz, and you remind me of Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, but we're twins.
I could see that. I've interviewed Cameron Diaz several times. I love her.
Everyone tells me that.
And you know what? I see the connection. I see exactly why people say that, because it's a certain sensibility, a certain worldview. It's certain like the way you express yourself is very similar.
I think it's how I express myself, and I do not look anything.
No, but you know what? She has a sweetness and a very pure soul. I really like her.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
And listening to her, like, she's talking about really aging gracefully. And that's what made me start thinking about everything. Like, I was telling Nicole, like, just aging gracefully, not just about physically, because I've spoken so many times about vanity and, okay, you know, taking care of ourselves and looking the best, you know, whether from nutrition to a
getting
little Botox
sleep.
Or there's everything. But it really is not just about the vanity, but just really aging gracefully, like taking care of yourself, where being whole as a woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really being stronger. Like, I was visiting my uncle in a rehab. He had some surgery done. He had some cancer. Stuff had to be removed. But it was so sad, because I was in this rehab looking at these people, and I said, this is exactly what I don't want, you know?
Right.
And to see this, and this does not have to be. And it really doesn't. And I say this out there. You see these people, the way they're aging, you don't have to age like that. You really can age gracefully. You just have to be aware.
Well, no, it's more than that. I mean, actually, you brought up earlier when you said about neuroplasticity. And Nicole, you're making a great point when you said, like, you know, as an adult, use your left hand, do things different, do crossword puzzles. What they're finding is that adults can also... that our brains are still growing, and that whole concept, that whole idea of, like, that you lose your marbles when you get to a certain age is bullshit. You don't. Mm-hmm. And that you can improve on your brain, and that, you know, what we get is we get something called mastery that doesn't happen until you get into your 40s and 50s and older, where you have things that you get so good at, and that those tracks of your brain are so well grooved that you're so good at that sort of thing, whether it's what you do for a living, or whether it's something you practice, whether it's even if it's just crossword puzzles, that you're better at it as you get older.
Right.
So, and that also has to do with memory. You know, we're living longer, technology, we look better.
Yes.
You know, I mean, look at you guys in your 40s.
Oh, thank you.
You know
thank
what I mean? You. But you're a really good example. I'm finding over and over that most women I see in their 40s and 50s do not look like the traditional 40s and 50s anymore. We're taking better care of ourselves. We're eating better. We're exercising.
Yes.
We know about skincare. Just Botox. Like, so I think the whole concept of aging is changing. Cameron Diaz, when you look at her, you don't look at her as a woman who's aging. She's just Cameron Diaz.
Right, exactly. And you know what? It's so true. And that's what really hit me. You don't, like, everybody needs to hear this. Like, you don't, there's no reason, even having elderly parents, there's no reason for dementia. There is no reason.
But Teresa, as Scuba was saying, oh, everyone's looking better and, you know, everyone knows how to take care of themselves and everyone's more educated. But at the same time, dementia, Alzheimer, it is on the rise.
It is.
I cannot tell you the high percentage of people once they get in this. It's starting dementia in people in their 70s.
I think it's really preventing. I think it's getting it before.
But it really is all about preventative.
I think it seems like it's on the rise because we can diagnose it earlier. There was a time that, you know, your 80-year-old grandma would just be like yelling at a tree for
and
no reason.
They're getting old.
I think, right, and you would say they're getting old.
Right.
But now we understand more about the brain. So things that we used to see years ago, even just, you know, 10 years ago, we would just say, oh, this person has something wrong. We don't know what it is.
Right.
Now we can recognize it. Now it could be diagnosed. And I was reading something just this morning. There was a new study that found that there's a certain area of the brain that switches on and switches off in Alzheimer's patients.
Wow.
And they can actually surgically keep it switched on. And
that's
amazing.
And
they've equated it to, like, you know, when you're having a conversation with somebody and you kind of lose your train of thought.
Right.
Whatever that part of your brain that you start to, like, you're thinking about something and then something takes away your attention, that switch, that part of the brain, that's the part that is at the seat of Alzheimer's, they're finding now. So if they can manipulate that part of the brain, they can stop it from continuing.
I have to tell you something.
Beautiful.
It's very true, because when I would go visit my grandmother in the nursing home, she had full, you know, dementia. And I would bring, and I would still talk to her and tell her stories about the past. And I would bring pictures of her and my grandfather, their wedding pictures, and when we were younger. And she would go back, and I would notice when she would go in and out of it, because when I would show her the pictures and tell her the stories, she would remember things from the past, and then she would start crying. And I knew when she would come back, but then she would snap out of it again, and then she would snap. Like, so it's amazing. Like, I knew when I was, like, relating to her, and I felt that what you were saying, like, oh, my goodness. Mom, for a short time, I felt like she did remember, because she cried, and she was trying to
talk to me. Did she recognize herself in those younger pictures? Did she know that was her?
She would point, and she would start, she would mumble, and she would, like, she would say things, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I knew she remembered at
It must
some
be
point.
So confusing, because your brain is telling you one thing and your like your heart and soul is telling you another.
And one thing I do want to say is, if you do work out 3 days a week, they do say you cut your chance of dementia 50%.
That's huge.
That's huge. And another thing, full study on that. But another thing that I love, which really prevents dementia, and I, of course, because we're so social, it is so important as you age that you have a social environment.
Yes.
That they say that you're around your friends.
Connections of love.
Whether it's your significant other, whether it's your children, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends. It is so important to be in a social environment, and they say laugh and connect every single day. That will prevent Alzheimer's.
Well, they say attitudes affect you on a cellular level, you know?
Right,
and that's
there's no question.
Huge. Yeah. So it's like that love, and it's so funny because I was telling Nicole, it really is all about love. Like, I see such a difference because Nicole and I were talking. I'm like, you know, Nicole, you know, we have such great people around. We're just talking about love and family and friends and relationships.
Right.
And I was like, but I'm a little bit, what even brought it up? Something about, I said, I think you always have to be your own knight in shining armor. That was always my thing.
Teresa, like, I like that.
Because I think you do. Like, nobody takes care of yourself really the way you do. And I think, you know, when you really love yourself, but in a humble way. I don't mean a narcissist.
I get exactly how you mean
really
it.
When you really love yourself, and, you know, then you could really love others. But then when I was talking to Nicole, I said, and then the next night we heard an excellent speaker. He was like a Catholic speaker at the church. And I said, and he said something so important. And he said, really about what love is. And it's so true. It's really about, it's giving. It's not needing. It's not needing. And you know what? And that hit
needy's
home
such
too.
A weak word, though. I hate that word. So I liked when he said that. Love isn't needy. You know, it's
not
about
needing,
giving.
But you don't need, because like so many people are looking for, like, and that's why I say be your own knight in shining armor. They're always looking to be fulfilled and to be complete and for other people. No, when you get out of yourself, even about the whole thing, and it relates to so much, even about aging, you know?
Right.
Gracefully, but yet not narcissistically. It's not just about looking better or feeling better. You know what I mean? It's like, get out of yourself. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Get out and, like, just give. And you know what? That really is love. And you're at such a better place just all together. You know, that's what we were talking about. It.
Love is also a choice. You have to choose it every day.
And why do you say that?
Right.
Because just in a relationship and a marriage and seeing, you know, you being married and everything, it's not easy now these days. You have to choose. You have to choose to be happy every day. You have to choose to really, I hate to say it, love that person every day and make the right decisions.
Right, when they get on your nerves.
When they get on your nerves.
And you want to stab them.
And exactly. Love is a choice. And you have to choose every single day when you wake up. Just like you have to make a lot of good decisions. Do I want to be happy? Do I want to be miserable today? Sometimes you could wake up.
No, I think you need to choose to love when that person disappoints you. I don't choose to love you. I love you. You are my blood unconditionally. I love my son. I don't choose to love my son. I just love him. I choose at times to love my husband because sometimes
I want. That's the funniest thing to me. Let me tell you why. Because if it wasn't for your husband, you wouldn't have your son. And you know, years ago, this is the funniest thing I ever heard Dennis Miller say. And I think it's probably the last funny thing Dennis Miller has said. Because, you know, he's a political guy and I talk serious stuff.
I like him.
He said he was looking at his wife and their son and they were so lovely together. And he thought, wow, the two of them really are family. I'm just some guy she met in a bar.
Like he was the outside.
And used me to procreate.
And the fact that you're saying, you know, your son, you just unconditionally, you love him every day, yet your husband you choose to love.
Because you know what? I'm going to tell you
he's
why.
He's also your
because
family.
Because I want to tell you. Because, yeah, because he is my family. And I no, love
my
husband.
I'm not knocking you.
But it's true. And you know what? I speak reality. Like, I hold back no punches. Anybody who knows me, I'm real. Like, I sometimes need a little bit of a filter. But it's true. I don't choose to love my son. I think in a marriage, and that's what this speaker from the church was saying, I choose every day to love my wife because at times it's not easy.
Right.
But, you know, people let you down that you're in a relationship with. But I just think, you know, with husbands and wives, I think, you know.
No, your expectations are different with your husband than they are with your kid. Mm. I mean, there's that too. It's not just that you're biologically connected to your child. It's also that, you know, you are in charge of your kid. You're not in charge of your husband. He's in charge of himself. You're in charge of yourself. And you hope when you guys get together, you don't piss each other off.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I should be in charge. Sometimes I should. Oh my gosh, men are just a different creature.
Yeah,
they really are. Women are just amazing. I mean, not just because it's just us talking right now, but and we have great men, you know, who are biggest fans and great listeners. But guys, I love you, but women are just, I don't know. We just
incredible human beings.
We just
no, but something you said earlier is the reason why. Because as women get older, our friendships get stronger. We have bigger communities around us. We make sure that you know, we take care of other people, but like our friends, our family, social people in at work, whatever, like we have bigger social environments. Men have smaller ones as they get older. They have less friends. They spend less time with their friends. They spend less time in social circles.
Yes.
And they care less about that sort of thing. So that's one of the reasons why, if you want to say women are better, we're happier, because having those social circles, every bit of happiness research shows that the more friends you have and the more real connections you make, the happier you are. Yes. Men have less as they get older. Women have more. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we really do it all. Like we multitask better, I think. All the men are going to be like, great, thanks, Teresa. But we do multitask. We just do it all.
Yeah, no, we love you. There are great men out there.
No, but the messages
they're
for
great
men.
I'm not saying that. But men, just step up to the plate.
Maintain your friendships. That's the answer. Men should be more involved socially and not less as they get older. That's the key.
We laugh about all my friends, all of my best friends and their husbands, our best friends. We're like, they would like, please. I think if they could have sex with each other, they would.
They have more
they
of
just
a
have a bromance.
They can.
They can. And they really can.
And they may.
Saying, we laugh like they have a bromance going on. They should, yeah.
They do. Reno and
that's
all his
nice.
Friends, they are together constantly. I think more than the girls are together.
Wow, that's really nice.
So much.
Yeah, I mean, my boyfriend has a lot of friends, but, you know, they're involved with their significant others or their careers,
right.
Or, you know, one of his closest friends travels for work, so we only see him when he's in town, and the other one, you know, has a new girlfriend and they're building something together. She has a kid, you know, so it's like people get involved in their lives. Yet for some reason, women make time for each other despite that. Like one of my one of my best friends has a major career. She's a TV career she's a psychologist. She has two kids. She's a husband. I see her all the time. I can call her right now and say, let's meet for coffee. And she'll drop what she's doing unless she has a patient.
Aww.
Whereas her husband only has, like, he also works a lot, but he too has kids and her and all that stuff. Yet he's only available every once in a while on a Saturday.
Uh-huh. No, because you know what it is, too? Like, I have to tell you,
we nurture each other.
Yeah.
You know, and
right.
I really would like to see, I really have to look at studies with that. Like, do men, I don't see too many men today really being nurturers. I think that's why girls need our girls. I mean, that's where I'm coming from. At my age, I see, and my husband's great. I just think, like, women really nurture each other. We really
take care of
each other.
Yeah. And that's why it's surprising when you hear of a father getting custody of his kids. Because it's not that fathers don't love their children. It's just that what goes into having to nurture children seems like it's more natural for women. And when a father chooses that, you kind of go, wow, that's really kind of cool. And interesting, because you don't, it doesn't seem like a natural choice.
Because you know what it is, I think, too? And you know what's so attractive? It's so attractive to me, Lily. Selflessness. And you know what? Mm. And I think mothers
good
really,
luck with that.
mothers really are. We're not selfish. You know what I mean? And not right. that men are, but I'm saying like
even no, with good people, good mothers good are mothers not selfish.
Are not selfish. Exactly. You know? And that's what I see. You know what I see? And it's the key. And I know we have to go soon, but people who are selfish are disgusting people. Okay, that's from Teresa. I find you repulsive. Okay. And I find selflessness so attractive because you know what? Even men who aren't selfish,
definitely.
They make great parents. And I think that's the key, what I've been seeing lately, even with parenting, with husbands and wives. People who are just are not selfish.
Get out
just
of themselves.
Yes. Make great husbands, make great wives.
Boyfriends.
Make great boyfriends, girlfriends,
right.
mothers
that's
and
true.
Fathers. Because you know what? They're not. It's not about themselves. They want to give. And I think that's where I was kind of at today coming but in here.
I feel like that's an immature quality. I can't think of anybody in my life right now that I would ever call selfish. I'd call them lots of other names.
God bless.
But selfish doesn't
kudos
come to
you.
Really, do you guys have adult friends that you consider selfish?
I think, you know what, maybe not just that.
I know a few people.
You know what it is?
Really?
It's that selflessness is beautiful. I don't see that selflessness in my friends. I have my circle, and it's just a beautiful group. I love them. But I do see a lot of people today that don't have that quality of selflessness. I think it's all about the I. It's about the ego. Mm. They may be good people. They may even be some really great people. But it's that quality that just doesn't, that's still
lacking.
I could like them, but I'm like, you know what? I still see, they're just lacking that selflessness.
I think I live in a different world than you guys do because you guys are in a lot of different social environments and there's people that you have to tolerate because either they're married to somebody in your circle or they're friends, they're parents of kids, of your kids' friends, whatever. So I think you guys get involved in scenarios where you get people of all different personalities. Whereas I think the beauty of my not being a mother is the fact that I get to choose who is in my life and who's not in my life.
Yes.
And I think that's probably only the good thing about it. And I just, I've gotten rid of all those people. You know, they were in my life in my 20s, even into my 30s. But I think that got to a point where I thought, I'm too busy. You know, and right. I don't have time to parent somebody else. Sometimes, do you get in the situation? I had so many friends that I felt like I was their parent. Like I would have to parent. No, we're going here at this time. Don't be late.
Yes.
You know, or no, this guy really likes you. You should really, you know, invite him to dinner, call him back. And I was like, why am I parenting adults?
It's exhausting.
Exhausting. Right.
I have to say, thank God we're blessed. We have our circle and we kind of keep it very
But we did
tight.
Have people like that in our lives. And
you
we
did.
Kind of
cut it out.
Cut them out.
Cut it out like a... Like mold.
Energy takers as energy givers, energy takers. They were just like draining.
And I always say, when you leave someone, I want that person to feel that much better about themselves. And when I leave people, I want to feel that much better about myself. When I leave certain people, if I don't feel good, it's like I won't be around them. You know, I want to leave people just better off.
But what you're saying is you want to leave and the person feels better.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
Right, like you've made the person
totally.
Feel better.
I want that person to feel so much better. And don't get me wrong, when I leave that person, I also do want to feel better too. Because I don't want that person, if that person's draining me, I kind of stay away from them.
Right.
But every person I leave, I want to make an impact on their life.
I
want to make them happier. I want them to feel good. I think it's so important to walk by people, even on the street, and be like, if you like something, compliment that person. You can make them feel that much better.
Smile at that person.
Smile. I see some people that walk by, it's on the call. She's like, oh, don't feed into the energy. People walk by, aren't going to say hello, weren't going to say hello. And I'm like, what the was her problem? Because I don't feed into the story. I'm like, she wasn't going to say hello.
But it could be a story in your own mind, I said, as well.
But right.
How
so
you're feeling.
Point being, no, it really wasn't, but that's okay. We'll leave it at that. I just think you got to be kind to people. You got to go out of your way to be loving to people, make people feel special. People today, especially successful people and a lot of people I'm around, basically they're all very successful. Just get out of yourselves. There are people, I love successful people who just give back and just want to make a difference. And then I get that other group that I come across that's just about me. And I'm like, I don't know.
It's hard to judge other people's reactions, though. Like, I remember one time I was walking by, just recently, I was walking by this homeless guy that had a sign saying, I'm hungry.
Oh, no.
So, and he was sitting by a deli. I went in there, I bought him a sandwich. He threw it at me.
Oh! No more buying sandwiches, Cooper.
No.
Have a wonderful
love
day.
You all. Don't be late.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there.
Yes.
You guys are awesome. I missed you last week. I'm so glad you're back.
Yes.
All right, well, we've come to another end of this week's Girls in Heels. Thank you so much for listening. Spread the word about us. Teresa, Nicole, and I back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels. Thank you so much for downloading, and please tell all your friends how much you love us.
Spread the word.